Let us turn to Jeremiah 23, verses 33 to 40. The message this evening is entitled, The False Burden of the Lord. We know that there are a lot of false prophets in the time of Jeremiah, before the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. There were so many false prophets that the Lord have worked through His servants to issue warnings against the false messages preached by the false prophets. There were so many reprimands from the Lord against the false prophets. If you read through these chapters from Jeremiah 23 verses 9 to 22 onwards, is a solemn warning of the lying prophets of Israel and Jerusalem. There were no more northern kingdom. Northern kingdom had been destroyed. But the Lord mentioned the false prophet in Samaria. So we can see the destructive effects of the ministry or the work of the false prophets in a nation. The false prophet continued to promise peace when there is no peace. How can there be peace when those who are in power, the king, the rulers, and those associated with the palace are doing evil continually? They have no fear of God. They have no love for their people. However, if they would have listened to God's word through Jeremiah and other God's spokesmen, they would realize that divine judgment could not be avoided. And God's judgment is coming, is visiting Jerusalem, visiting the country of Judah. And God will execute His chastisement until His purpose is accomplished. Then God will reestablish His nation. The false prophets spoke without receiving a commission from God. They give the false burden. They say, oh, the Lord have laid in my heart to give you this message. The Lord has spoken to me, but the Lord actually never speaks through them. How dangerous. See, people give us false messages. In verses 23 to 29, the all-present and all-knowing God exposes the dreams of the false prophets, which led people to false worship. False worship gives us an idea that we can control God. And God is bound, or God is obligated to bless you no matter what you do. Even you commit evil continually. Even you did not repent from your evil doings. Even you continue to worship false gods. Their dreams were like chaff without value when they compared to God's words, which is like the nutritious wheat. The chaff may be good for animals to feed the chicken, but God's word is like fire. He'll burn the dross. And God's word is so powerful, like a hammer against a rock. In verses 30 to 32, we see the Lord is against these lying prophets. Instead of speaking divine message, they are lying and deceiving the people of God. And so such people are immoral. They do not know God. They have no divine message for the people. They are active participants in sin, in a way that strengthens the hands of those who commit evil. They'll tell the kings, it's okay for you to worship idols. It's okay for you to ignore this message of this doomsday prophet Jeremiah. It's okay. God will continue to bless you. God will bless you with peace. They'll pronounce a benediction for the king when there's no blessing, no peace. They have no fear of God. They are actually blaspheming God. They don't understand the holy nature of the Lord. That's why they preach that Jerusalem will be free from divine judgment. So if any insurance company understands the nature of the work of the teacher and preacher of God's word, they certainly increase the premium to the highest. This is high risk as a pilot. You see? The pilot, the most bring the whole plane of people to destruction. But preachers and teachers of God's word can bring 100 planes or 1,000 planes, especially with today's multimedia. They have a big following. A sister shared with me that her neighbor, who spent all the time traveling around the globe to follow a false teacher, many years ago, more than 15 years ago, she spent the time investing in money in buying tickets following the false preacher, the worldwide famous false teacher around the world, attend all the crusades and the big meetings. What a sad thing. There are many false preachers like this today. Watch out. And let us do not admire them. Let us worry for them, for their final destruction. The false burden of the Lord. From verses 33 to 40, these four false prophets did not take heed of God's message through Jeremiah. If they would be listened to the God's message through this prophet Jeremiah, they would at least be checked in their evil ways. Instead, they are getting worse. They stop the prophet in the way. Stop the prophet Jeremiah in the way to ask in a sarcastic manner about his burden, which is God's voice for the day. What is your burden for today, Prophet Jeremiah? It sounds respectful. Actually, they are making a sarcastic remark. They're trying to downgrade the message of the true prophet. What burden? A burden means a prophetic message. The burden of the true prophet carries a judgment. It's a burden in the hearts of the prophet. So Jeremiah wept. Jeremiah was a compassionate prophet. The message of the Lord about the destruction of God's people, the destruction of the temple, the destruction of the temple, the city of Jerusalem really moved his heart. It caused him to tremble. It caused him to wept, to weep. In this situation, it refers to a response of God to an inquiry. Everyone is looking for a message telling them Babylonians will soon be driven away from their lands and never return. What the so-called comforting message. God will bless you. There will be no evil come to Jerusalem there because of the temple of God. God will certainly be in his temple. God will never leave his temple. God will never leave his city. God will never leave his people. Like what happened in Isaiah's time. God saved King Hezekiah from the coming invasion of the Assyrians. That is our best proof that God will ever, forever protect Jerusalem. They think God is a God of formula. God have done this. God must do this again. God is obligated to do this again to save the city, but they never stop their evil of idol worshipping and the oppression of God, of God's people. These false prophets are turning people away from the revelation of God, from Jeremiah with their false message. It's a counteract. Do away. False burden produces false peace. Can you imagine a medical professional tell a dying patient, "You're all right. You can live up to 100 years or 99 years. You'll be all right. You live up to ripe old age." Actually, the disease already coming to the very core of the person's existence. He's going to die anytime. They say, "You're all right." So give false promise, false peace to the patient. But God told the prophet Jeremiah to answer them, "I will abandon you. You are such a burden. You are such a false speaker in my name that I will throw you away like a burden." You know, just like men throw the burden. You know, sometimes we if you can understand the burden of those who work in the airport, you know, all the luggages, you know, big and small. After carrying for some time, people lose patience and start throwing start throwing from the top to the bottom. And simply throw out because sometimes out of anger or frustration, the burden. And God say, I will throw you away like a burden. What burden? You are a burden to me. You have been annoying me regularly with your false burdens in my name. You have been abusing my name. You have taken my name in vain, which God promised in Ten Commandments, God will deal with them. Can you imagine if I go around that I carry a message in the name of the palace, our national palace? I give you a message. Then the national palace says, the king said, I never issue a message to me. This guy, I don't know him. You see the seal, you see the letterhead of the national palace. What will happen to me? In no time, the king will ask the law enforcement officers to nab me and put me in prison. You see, how about caring, you know, speaking false messages in the name of God? The sin will be greater. The condemnation will be greater. Because of the abuse of this word burden, God has forbidden its use by the prophet, priest, and individual. From verses 34 to 35. It all began by King Zedekiah, who asked for a message from God that he would drive away the Babylonians. Zedekiah, to me, means the final alphabet, means the last king. You see, he truly is the last king. He should have repented and asked God for mercy. Whatever, a drop of God's mercy for him is good enough. But he didn't. He had to suffer such humiliation when the king of Babylon came to the city. The king and his followers do not reflect on their faith. They have not asked why. The prophet Jeremiah, this so-called betrayer, traitor of a nation of Judah, spoke such a harsh message against me and my administration. They have not reflected on their behavior, how they treated the people of God, how they oppressed others, how they squeezed others to get their gain. And they did not think of confessing their sin. They confess the sin of Prophet Jeremiah. You are a traitor. You know? You did not ask God to save us or protect us. You say God is going to destroy our city. What a shame on you. Destroy our sacred temple. They are praying that God will save them like saving King Hezekiah. But Jeremiah gave him the opposite message. He did not change his message. He suffered for his message. He also announced the condemnation of God against the previous kings of Judah. Look at the ancestors. Joiakim. You know? The house of David is condemned to fall. And this is the truth. And Jeremiah, of course, when he preached it, he trembled. Who wants to condemn his own country? Which is, he himself is a part of it. And God will not give a message of hope to those who refuse to admit their sin. How can there be peace for those who do not admit and forsake their sin and turn to God? Zedekiah is having a vain hope. The king is having a vain hope, but he is supported by the vain priest, supported by the vain prophet. They are both support him. The priest says, your sacrifice is being accepted by God. Even though you are unrepentant. Of course, he cannot say, the priest did not say the king is unrepentant. Otherwise, you'll be sad. Then the prophet said, God will grant you peace. People should not twist the promise of God to suit their selfish end. Truly, God has made great promise to David's house. But they should understand the conditions set by God in 1 Samuel 7. If your children, descendants, did not follow me, I would chastise them. So God will chastise them through the invasion of Babylonians. They cannot escape the consequences of their sins, of their idolatry, of their sins of oppression, etc. You cannot accept, you cannot sin and hope that as if nothing will happen. The only hope is that through the greater Son of David, Jesus Christ, from the house of David, only Jesus Christ can save us from the power and the bondage of sin. The Lord have told them, the king, when you sit on the throne, copy the law. Then you study day and night. The other day I read that a certain ruler in Asia, when he was just a junior ruler in the big country, his mother wrote him the Proverbs on how to rule a country. One of the advice the mother gave him is that you should abstain from corruption. The mother wrote to him regularly. And there with God's sovereign grace, he rose to the top to rule the big country. So, wise sayings, humanly speaking, will restrain us from being corrupted. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We see many people fell, many rulers fell. So were the kings of Judah. They have forgotten God. They do not have high regard for God. They joined the Canaanites in worshipping idols. They oppressed the people like the Canaanite king. Finally, the land will vomit them out. Isn't it? God has spoken to Moses in Deuteronomy that the land will vomit you out. He'll throw you out because you are so evil. And God is no respecter of race and person. If you commit evils like the Canaanites, the land will throw you out, will vomit you out, like the God have judged the Canaanites. The evil people are charged with perverting and twisting God's word. This is the worst thing a person can do. The continued abuse of this word, the burden of the Lord, despite God's prohibition, will become in itself a burden, bringing judgment upon those who choose to rebel. You see, every year the Bible school produces a lot of graduates. They are supposed to be teachers and preachers of God's word. Some choose to be faithful to the word of God. Some do not choose. Some have deviated. I remember a fellow student during my time. He's such a bright student. He is being selected by the lecturer to join a few, two or three others to write a research paper on the cults. I think on the cults of false teachings. And they produce a book. And I believe he's kept in the FEBC library. And later one day, one friend came to see me from Singapore. He said, so and so he passed away. Oh, I said, no, it cannot be. Because he's such a strong man. He can be, if I were got a chance to vote, I vote him as a Mr. FEBC. He's such a strong, muscular man. And he got such a bright mind, very clear mind. He can state the truth in a very clear manner. And everybody understand him. And he got a good command of English, etc. I would vote him as one of the exemplary students. But it's very sad. I did not, he was in touch with him. Then later I heard that he passed away in one big gathering in Malaysia. He just collapsed and died in his middle age. Then later, upon checking which church is he associated to, I was surprised to find that he followed the wrong teachings which he have written, put in black and white, to say these are deviant ways from the Bible. You see, graduates from Bible school doesn't mean you will be faithful to the Bible unless you resolve, by God's help, to follow God's way, even though our ministry do not meet with great success. The temptation of being looked upon as successful preacher or teachers have been causing a lot of people to fall in the ministry. I want to join the mega trend. I want to join this prosperous way in the ministry, so-called. Woe to the preachers who have taken his own dreams and construed it as the word of God. Woe to the preacher who take his own views and preach it as if this is God's word. Not every dream is from God. Of course, God did reveal to certain people in the history, like Joseph, like Daniel, and other people through dreams. Yes. No, everyone who dreams is a prophet. Sometimes you have dreams, isn't it? Sometimes you have late supper, sometimes you can't sleep, you have dreams. But we should not take those dreams as, wow, something supernatural. God expects a man to distinguish his revelation from the dreams of men. And these prophets have not been faithful to God and his word. Instead, they have wandered away from God's way to serve their own interests. It's a sad thing. And God is holding them accountable for speaking falsehood in his name. False prophets discounts and downgrade the word of God. It is something a compassionate Christian will lament, like Jeremiah lament in verse 9. My heart is within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. You see, if Jeremiah were to live today, when he look at those ministry that have been destroyed, he will say this: my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. And all the big denomination, they have fallen away in apostasy. Jeremiah would preach it with trembling attitude, trembling heart, shaking bones. Nobody can look at the sad consequences of rebellion against God with indifference. He'll be deeply disturbed, dismayed instead. He laments for the ungodly preachers, broken heart and trembling bones. But how can these prophets speak so casually about receiving revelation from God? God told me so. The Lord have revealed me last night, etc. In verse 18, and God asked them this question: for who have stood in the counsel of the Lord and have perceived and heard his word, who have marked his word and heard it? Were you there when God have his royal house meeting, the heavenly royal house? Were you there? Did you take down his word? Of course. All these preachers, they did not. They just copy the messages from one another. You see, usually there'll be a lead false prophet. Then this lead false prophet later will produce a lot of junior false prophets. They'll copy from his notes, take the key teachings from him. They did not have the endorsement from God's word, from the five book of Moses, from the messages from people like Isaiah. And these false prophets keep on repeating these phrases. And God is so sick of this, they decided to put a stop on it. God does not want to hear these false burdens of the Lord anymore. It is true that God has revealed a dream at times, but let us be warned to check the truthfulness of the dream. In Deuteronomy 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign and a wonder, and when the sign of the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after another gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet, nor the dreamer of the dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And Moses continued to exhort people to cleave unto the Lord, to hold on to God's word, because God's word will not be changed, isn't it? Our words will change from time to time. Sometimes, not that we want to distort the truth, but sometimes we forgot what he has spoken, isn't it? Like old people, sometimes they forgot what they have spoken. But God's word is written in black and white, cannot be changed. You see, we are to check against the so-called dreams or burdens of the Lord with God's word. If these dreams cause us to wander away from the truth, let us beware and run away. The prophets should be tested to see whether they obey the word of God. If what they say is opposing the Bible, then they are false prophets. So, receiving in verse 28 to 29, saying that receiving divine revelation is a humbling spiritual experience. The prophet Isaiah said, when he saw the vision of God, he said, "Woe unto me," isn't it? He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Look at John the Apostle in Revelation. When he heard the voice of the Lord behind him, when he saw the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, he fell to the ground, what the Bible says, as dead, like a dead man. He trembling. No one can see the King of Kings without trembling. You see, if a student saw the principal and start trembling, this is what one of the best students in FEBC told me. I thought last time, only I was the one who trembled. I saw the principal, began to tremble, I wanted to run away. But one of the best students said, "I also want to run away." Try to find excuse to run away. There's a kind of awe. There's a kind of awesome feeling in the true sense. With the most holy God, the sinless God, the risen Savior. In chapter 23, he warns against making false claim of received divine revelation. Let us do not take God's name in vain, as stated in Exodus chapter 20. So we see there are three pillars in the Jewish society: the prophet, the priest, and the king. The king will rule over civil affairs, but the king also should guide God's people to obey the Lord. The priests are supposed to present sacrifices to bring people to the presence of God. The prophet should speak the word of the Lord, representing God to deliver his will. But these three pillars are collapsing, already collapsed. The kings are corrupt. The priests are corrupt also. The prophets are corrupt. The priests and the prophets join hands to strengthen the corrupt monarchy, to strengthen the rule of the corrupt monarchy. Yes, humanly speaking, this will last, but it will not last, because God will destroy it. They need a prophet, a priest, and king. And Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the prophet, priest, and king. And the people of God need to be taught the biblical truth. You see, why there's a spread of false teaching? Because there's a lack of presence of truth. The basic truth should be taught to the people. The catechism class in the ancient time, in the present time, we have a basic Bible knowledge class, isn't it? Teaching the basic truth of the Christian faith, the gospel faith. In the catechism is the most basic way, question and answer. How many questions, how many answers, the standard answer. From there, the children or the beginners in faith learn the truth, the gospel truth. He learned the essence of the Apostles' Creed. And the church Bible study group, the fellowship gathering, all should spread the truth. And church members are exhorted to learn the truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." There are certain things which are given by the ancestors, isn't it? The mother, before he passed away, would say, "This jewelry, this necklace, please give to my future daughter-in-law or to my grandchildren." The faithful children will keep this to execute the will of the mother. They will not pass these precious things, they will not sell these precious things away. even they are in dire need of food and clothing. They keep this. That's a precious memory. How much more the truth of God? See, the most precious legacy for Christians to pass to the next generation is the biblical teachings. Our children guided with the truth of God, the gospel truth, with the biblical teachings. When a Christian pass away, will there be a split or big quarrel over the money, the material assets possession? If that is so, it means the people are not guided, these children are not guided with truth for one reason or another. All they see is money, the FD, the savings, the gold, the jade, the land, the houses, the shares, etc. The truth doesn't bother them. It's very sad. Let us ground ourselves in the biblical truth. Let us read our Bible regularly. Let us listen to the scriptural teachings we receive faithfully and also pass to the next generation, pass to others. Do not be misled by the false burdens of the Lord. When people come to deceive us, give the false messages, we can discern because we know the truth. There are so many out there who give false teachings. Their false teachings will bring not only a family down, individual down, finally, you'll bring the whole church down, you'll bring the whole country down. If the chief spiritual advisor of a country, chief advisor, spiritual advisor to a president or to a royal house is a false teacher, what will happen to the country? God will bless you even though you committing evil continuously. God will bless you even you go against the will of God continuously. God will bless you even you idolize yourself. You make yourself a God. God will bless you. There will be peace unto you. What will happen to the royal house? What will happen to the presidential administration? The answer is very obvious. What happened to Judah is what will happen to the presidential administration and to the royal house. Let us be one. Let us take heed. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the message from the prophetic book, Jeremiah. We pray that thou may help us to be one of the false burdens of the false prophets, and help us to be discerning, help us to be grounded in the biblical truth, so that we will not be led astray, so that we will spread the faithful teachings to others, to the remnant of thy people. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.